and welcome to episode 3 of Tarot for a Troubled Time, the podcast in which we reflect on the troubled time that we're collectively living through the COVID-19 pandemic using the cards of the tarot. I'm your host, River Rose. So, how are you all holding up? I hope that you've been able to find some joy or at least some relief this past week. Here in the US, it's been another shitty, difficult week. We've reached a horrendous COVID-19 milestone, surpassing 4 million cases among our population. On orders from the quote-unquote president, we've seen federal agents dressed in military gear snatching protesters off our streets in cities like Portland. We've been mourning the tremendous loss of civil rights giants, John Lewis, C.T. Vivian, and Charles Evers, and marked the birthday of Emmett Till, the 14-year-old African-American boy who was lynched in Mississippi in 1955 after being accused of offending a young white woman. We've also seen Hurricane Hannah form and make landfall in Texas, wreaking havoc in a coronavirus hotspot. And in the middle of all of this, we saw the quote-unquote president attempt to show his mental superiority by reciting 5 words from a memory test that is typically given to people with head injuries. Even with all of this, and with my own personal stresses, I have to say that at the beginning of this week, I had been starting to find some kind of balance in my day-to-day COVID life. Even though I'm actually sheltering in place and spending a lot of time working, which I'm grateful for, by the way, and privileged to be able to do, most things here in New York are still closed, and I'm cut off from pretty much all my friends and family. This makes me feel isolated because I spend a lot of time alone, working at home, and all the things I would usually do to keep me balanced, go to the theater, go to museums, go do some kickboxing at the gym, are not available to me. Anyhow, the point is, I was just feeling like I'd found some sort of balance in this unbalanced time when I found out that someone in my family is facing surgery and their situation is such that they cannot and should not face it alone. Unfortunately, they live in another country and it will be very complicated and frankly dangerous from a health perspective for me to go and support them. So that threw me off balance, and I'm trying to figure it out. I'm saying all of this because I wanted to paint a picture of everything I was experiencing and feeling and thinking as I came to this week's tarot reading. Let me tell you what I landed on. First of all, I decided to draw 2 cards this week. Normally, I'm a fan of nuance, of embracing complexity, because I know that oversimplification misses important aspects of a situation. But I thought, you know what? In the face of everything that we're dealing with, violence, economic hardship, disease, life and death, frankly, maybe you have to simplify, you have to draw lines, you have to think in binaries even. Yes, no. Black, white. Good, bad. I don't reduce my thoughts down to that very often, but sometimes you just have to boil things down. In the tarot, 2 card spreads typically reflect this kind of simplicity. You can pick 2 cards to answer a yes or no question. For example, where the first card you draw means yes, do this, pursue this path, and the no suggests a path to avoid. Or you can use 2 cards to do some variation of this, with the first card illustrating a possible direction to pursue and 1 being the obstacle to that direction, for example. There are different ways to think about this spread, but what's important is to decide what you want to do and what you want each of the 2 cards to mean before you draw them. And I apologize, I'm going to stop here and tell you that it's a very busy night here in Brooklyn and you might be hearing a siren in the background right now. Anyway, in my case, I've decided to use the first card to guide me to what we need to put aside or bring to closure in this moment. And with the second card, we're going to think about what we need more of in this moment. If you want to think of it as breathing, it's kind of a out with the bad air, in with the good type of spread. It's a cleansing breath. Anyway, after that was out of the way, I thought, okay, what is our question for this week? I thought about this for a while and I came to the idea that in times when we're under stress, when we're afraid and don't know what to do next, particularly when we're aware that everyone around us is also feeling the same, one thing that might help us to move through the moment, and it might be counterintuitive, is to actually not focus on ourselves, but to take a moment to focus on someone else, to actually think about what we can do to help others. So I formulated the question for the tarot, what can I do to help? And in connection to this question, I was reminded of a couple of things. I was reminded of Fred Rogers, going back to my childhood. Mr. Rogers was a role model for many children and a giant of a human being. He entertained generations of kids with his television show for almost 40 years. He not only taught values like collaboration, leaning in on your imagination, and being a good neighbor, he was also a champion of civil rights, taking actions such as breaking the color barrier on television when he invited an African-American character on his show to dip his feet into his pool with him on camera in an area, or in an era, when blacks and whites were not allowed to swim together in public pools. I bring up Fred Rogers because there's something he once said in an interview that has always stayed with me. He said, "When I was a boy and I would see scary things in the news, my mother would say to me, 'Look for the helpers. You will always find people who are helping.'" The other thing that made me land on this question was an interview I heard this week with the late John Lewis. Speaking with Terry Gross on Fresh Air in 2009, just as President Obama was about to take office, he was asked whether he was concerned about some people saying we no longer had to worry about racism because we had elected an African-American person into our highest elected office. He responded that he was concerned about it because we had not yet created what Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. had referred to as the beloved community, a community in which all human beings on the planet, regardless of color, regardless of background, are able to live in peace and justice and have access to the resources needed to live a healthy and prosperous and abundant life. Now, I know we seem to be so far from achieving the beloved community right now, and many of us feel we simply don't have the energy or resources to take care of everything for themselves or for their loved ones, much less for every human being on the planet. However, I do think it is helpful to us in times when we are so focused on our challenges, as monumental as they may be, to perhaps lend a hand to someone else. Now, you might be hearing this and thinking, you know, River, I agree with you, but I really can't help someone else right now. I don't have it in me. I have to focus on me. I don't have the privilege to think of someone else. And you know what? That's totally legitimate. This question is just as important if it's about you and you alone. Out of the cobwebs of my mind, you might remember this too. I vaguely recall that in the olden days, BC, before COVID, when we would fly on planes, we used to be told, in the case of depressurization of the aircraft, we have to put on our oxygen masks when they drop down from the ceiling, and that we have to make sure that before we help others with their masks, we have to first put on our own oxygen mask. So, I get it. You may have to help yourself right now before you help others. But I do know that if we are quick to put on that mask and we can help others, we'll feel better and we'll have more people to help us through whatever happens next, because we will all be able to keep breathing. Anyhow, on to the reading. So as you know, we're working with two cards today, and the cards I drew are the Five of Cups reversed and the King of Pentacles. Now, if you listened to our last episode, you'll recall that we saw Wands and Swords, and this week we get the two remaining suits in the tarot, Cups, which are associated with the element of water, and pentacles, which are associated with the element of earth. So in the span of a week, even without pulling very many cards, we've now seen all four suits of the minor arcana. That is to say, life is throwing a little bit of everything at us. And we've yet to see any major arcana, which we'll talk about another time. Now, remember, I'm using every card in the deck throughout the course of the podcast. After we finish each reading, the cards are not going back into the deck. We're doing a 78 card pull over the course of the entire podcast to see how the cards land as we go through this pandemic together. But I digress, so let me get back to the reading. As I mentioned, I'm thinking of the two cards as a cleansing breath. First out with the bad air, and then in with the good. The out with the bad air card is the Five of Cups reversed. The Five of Cups typically shows a figure who is staring down at the ground where five golden cups sit, three of which are overturned and their contents have spilled out. This is the classic depiction in the Rider-Waite-Smith deck, for example. The figure is facing left, two other cups are also on the ground and are upright, but they are behind the figure, who is too distraught over the lost liquid in the overturned cups to notice that all is not lost. Two of the cups have remained undisturbed. The figure is dressed in clothing that connotes mourning, a black cloak of some kind, and they're standing by a river with a bridge in the distance and a town on the other side of the bridge. In the deck we're using, the Modern Spellcaster's Tarot, the scene is slightly different. The figure is also hooded, so we can't see their head, and the black cloak goes down to the ground. They're facing right, not left, which is also interesting. In this case, it's reminding me that we need to look ahead, not behind. The spilled liquid on the ground from the three cups is actually red on this card. Maybe wine, or maybe even blood. But the two upright cups are, in fact, not unnoticed by the figure, like in the Rider-Waite-Smith, because, in fact, the figure is holding the two upright cups, each in one hand. And while we do have a river in this scene, as we do in the Rider-Waite-Smith deck, in the place of a town, we have upstream a giant gushing waterfall. Now, cups, the water suit, are connected to the realm of the emotions, the imagination, you know, the activities of the right brain. Remember we said last week that fives typically suggest a challenge or imbalance or unstable moment? Therefore, the Five of Cups typically symbolizes a range of heavy feelings, sadness, mourning, regret, disappointment, and suffering and emotional imbalance caused by extreme loss or even trauma. Our state of mind is so heavy that it's hard for us to notice what we'll do and what we do still have at our disposal that can help us, that can nourish us, that can quench our thirst, that can help us to stay alive, to keep breathing. And so this feeling is so heavy that we can't see the resources that can take us to a better place, across the river, across the bridge, further downstream to where other people are, things like that. So how appropriate is this for the card of the moment? I don't know about you, but I don't know anyone who hasn't felt all these things in the past few months and who hasn't felt like they are completely spent, like they have nothing left. Now remember though, the card I drew is reversed, indicating either an extra layer to the meaning of the card, either a resistance to the energy or an extremeness to the energy of the card, or an ending to the energy of the card. In this case, I think the reversal is telling us, hey, I know you're spent. I know you felt a lot of pain. But you know what? There are a couple of other cups out there and we can drink from them. So you're right to feel all those heavy feelings. In fact, don't suppress them. Cry those tears, scream, mourn, and when you do that, you'll find that you can come to a new emotional place. You can cross go down and rise into something else. So that's what we're letting out. So now it's time to think about bringing in the good, which is embodied today in the King of Pentacles. Now, last week, we saw one royal leader, the Queen of Swords, in our past. But here we go. Another leader is popping up to offer his services, the King of Pentacles. Pentacles symbolize the earth and the material world, so it can be reminding us about things that have to do with our physical bodies or even the world of physical resources, even money. In fact, pentacles are also drawn as and known as coins in some cards. The King of Pentacles in classic depictions sits on a very lush, elaborate throne surrounded by greenery, and the throne is adorned with carvings of two bulls. In the background, we see his castle, but interestingly, he is sitting outside the castle walls, therefore not up in his tower or behind a moat, but out here with the rest of us. In the modern Spellcaster's Tarot, we don't see a castle, but we do see some rather unsubtle signs of the meaning of the card. We see a squirrel at his feet, who is a thrifty, crafty being who knows how to store up resources. We see the king dressed in a long, flowing green robe, and nothing else, by the way. And instead of carvings of bulls, we see two flesh and blood young beings who appear to be fawns, one who is feeding the king grapes and the other one who is about to play a flute or a pipe. Oh, and I can't forget, at his feet, beside the squirrel, is literally an overflowing bag of golden pieces of something that could be coins, but could also be grain, a grain of some type, corn, something like that. As you might imagine, the King of Pentacles typically symbolizes wealth, success, but also earthiness and practicality. He might be a little stubborn and a little conservative, but he is also passionate and he knows how to wield his power in service of others. He undoubtedly likes to be surrounded by beauty and he treasures comfort, but he is always prepared to share his wealth with others. He is a figure of security and abundance. He's a protector. Friends, maybe this card is telling us that we are the King of Pentacles. Maybe this card is confirming that we have it in us to be a helper. It is challenging us to provide something to someone else. And that we don't have to go out of our way, really. We have everything that we need to make a difference in someone's life. Remember, no matter how small or powerless you feel, you do have a sphere of influence. Is there someone out there you've made laugh? Is there someone out there who's learned something from you or who has benefited from your presence? I know there is. Think of those people. Remember what you've given them and dwell in the feeling that you got from helping them. And now it may be time to do it again for them, but also for you. And remember, stay grounded. Don't get carried away. Think about what you're good at. Think about what you do have. Can you teach it to someone else? Can you share it with someone else? Can you share a talent that you have with others? Since many of us are spending so much time online now, you don't have to do these things in person. Whatever currency you still have, share it with someone else. And if you think you're out of coins, you know what? Scrounge around on the couch and look for a nickel. See what you can do with it. Remember, if you really feel like you can't help someone else right now, then the person you need to help is yourself. If nothing else, show yourself a little kindness. Eat something sweet. Read a book. Binge some Netflix. Just go to sleep. Whatever you need to do, if you're the person you need to help, do it. And you know what? If you feel like even that doesn't help you, then maybe you need to call on your own King of Pentacles. Reach out to someone else who can help you get through this. I know depending on your situation, these things are easier said than done. But even in our darkest moments, when there is no help to be found, we have to reach in the dark and look for something, for anything that can allow us to keep going. I'm reminded of a poem by William Ernest Henley. It's called Invictus. Nelson Mandela used it to get him through the impossible darkness he dealt with in his 27 years of prison. The poem goes like this. Out of the night that covers me, black as the pit from pole to pole, I thank whatever gods may be for my unconquerable soul. In the fell clutch of circumstance, I have not winced nor cried aloud. Under the bludgeonings of chance, my head is bloody but unbowed. Beyond this place of wrath and tears looms but the horror of the shade, and yet the menace of the years finds and shall find me unafraid. It matters not how straight the gate, how charged with punishments the scroll. I am the master of my fate. I am the captain of my soul. So in closing, friends, in the difficulty of this moment, it seems to me that the tarot cards are telling us to fully feel the depth of our pain so that we may reach the bottom of it and then rise again to reach out and help others who are in pain around us with whatever we have to offer, no matter how small. And if we really can't do that, then we need to reach out anyway and find someone who can give us a hand up so that we can keep going. That's all I have for this week's reading. I hope you got something out of it. I'll share the cards we pulled today on social media, and I would be thrilled to see your questions and comments on there for me. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram under the handle at CallMeRiverRose. And if you'd prefer to email me, you can do so at IamRiverRose@gmail.com. And one final place where you can let me know what you thought, and I encourage you to do so, is in the podcast app that you use to listen to me. And leave a rating and a review. That's it. I'll see you next Monday. Be well. Take care.